Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you again for today. Thank you for each person that's here. And I pray, Father, that you will help us to reflect on the importance of remembering your favor, your protection, your provision that you've given us in this country. And thank you, Father, for all those that have died for our country, that have served our country, that continue to do so, that we can truly enjoy the freedoms that we have, that even today, as we know that the longest war in the history of America is the war against terrorism that's going on in the Middle East right now, to help protect our country from that threat of terrorism like we've already seen before. So thank you for those that are on the lines and in the oceans and wherever they're serving. I pray that you protect them and encourage their families. And I pray, Father, for victory in each of their lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message today is Remember. And it is key for our country. We saw last year statues through our country being torn down or graffitied or trying to burn them up and smash them up and break them up and destroy them. And as they looked at them, many of them didn't understand the history behind many of these statues and these memorials. They didn't understand that even in the sinful nature of mankind, that looking at different people at different time periods have done things that, sure, shouldn't have been done, like slavery. But the things that were done that were good need to be remembered. But just as much as the things that were bad. Because if we don't know the good and the bad of history, then we're not going to have the understanding that we need to keep us from doing those things again. If we took down the Jewish monuments in honor of the Holocaust, we might forget, or our next generation or generation after that might forget all those that were slaughtered because they were Jewish. They might forget how that type of power came into play, how that power was even infiltrated into the United States of America as Nazi camps were placed in our country, as young men marched the streets in Nazi uniforms trying to recruit people for that purpose. And so if we remove the things that we have in history, no matter how ugly it is or even how good it is, then we miss the opportunity to guard those things that are good and to avoid those things that are evil. And so it's Satan's trick to tear down the monuments, in my opinion. It's to take history out of the equation so we don't know the right way to go. And so we need to hold up the history. We need to tell our kids and grandkids about history. We need to reflect on history and be thankful for history. And I'm not a history buff, but as I get older, I appreciate history even more. In the last month, I've been talking about history in America and the revival that we need in our country. And it comes, one, from God's people being God's people. God's people being God's people by living for Him, surrendering to Him, following Him. And it takes us as a nation being a people that guards the things that are important as a nation, that we protect our nation from those things that can bring us into a world that we don't want to live in, but to continue to be able to live in a world that has given us freedom and not to take that for granted. And when I see those flags being burned and those, it really angers me. But at the same time, it saddens me because the value and the representation of what our American flag means and all the blood and sacrifice that went for us to have that freedom is not being appreciated. And so I just look to God and I ask God to help us as we stand as His people to make sure that we also reflect on history and stand on what's right. Look at Abe Lincoln, what he stood for against slavery and what he had to endure because of his stand. But see, if we take all that away, we lose the principles that are needed to keep us to be a country that we are and to be a better country yet to come. And so history's of utmost importance. The story of the hand of God in the founding and preservation of our nation must be given great priority if there is to be a hope for cultural and spiritual restoration. Let me read that again. The story of the hand of God and the founding and preservation of our nation must be given great priority if there is to be a hope for cultural and spiritual restoration. So if we forget God's hand of blessing on our country through our history, if we forget God's hand or don't recognize God's hand on our country even today, if we don't acknowledge God and the importance of God in our country, then we're shifting our focus from where it should be on God, and we're shifting it to ourselves. And that will only create a paradigm of disaster in this country. And so we have to have the right perspective and honor God for what he has done. And in doing so, it'll help us to be an impact in our culture to help them look back to God. So when we think about things they're saying, and we'll roll on a little bit here, but just our currency, in God we trust, or stating that look how God has blessed our country, and reflecting on that, and maybe encouraging that in our conversations, just as a reflection, to interject the truth of God's blessings on our country, could have a great impact on people, maybe to help redirect their lives to look at God instead of themselves. The Bible clearly teaches that reformation cannot occur in a vacuum. And what I mean by that is by an isolation from context. We cannot have reformation in our country if we are strictly looking at ourselves and not looking at the context of God's blessings and what he has done in our history, in our country. We're just out of control without the context, and we might go the wrong way. So the Bible clearly teaches again that reformation cannot occur in a vacuum without historical reference, like all the statues and the monuments. You know, I forget what year it was when some of our government buildings, they had, and you guys might remember it more than I, but I remember this picture of the Bible being open, and it was a, you know, granite monument, and they removed it off of government property. And because it was an insult, because it's a, you know, it's a religious slant, it's a Christian influence. But we were founded as a Christian nation, and we are a post-Christian nation today, but we can be a Christian nation again as God works in and through our lives to hold him up and to bring him honor and glory. In the book of Deuteronomy, the pattern is laid down for the renewal of a nation. That's important for us. God lays down the pattern for renewing a nation. Okay, and we're going to look at that in the book of Deuteronomy. The pattern is repeated in the Old and New Testaments without variations, but it begins with the concept of remembering God's deeds in his story or in history. So we need to remember. It's important that we remember what God has done for us as a country. It's important that we remember what he's done for us in our own personal lives. But it's also important for us to convey that and to share that, to remind people to remember what God has done for us as a great nation and as a people that are following him. So remember is the key word in Deuteronomy. I want you to hold on to that this morning. Repeat it frequently throughout the book as a command that was to begin the repentant process of rebuilding. We're going to look at that again. So in biblically looking at it. Deuteronomy is also known as the second law or the second statement of law to a new generation about to enter the promised land. You know, it's amazing. It wasn't all that long of a period of time that the Jewish people had come out of Egypt, but in that generation of 40 years wandering in the wilderness, they had forgotten what God had done for them. That's mind-boggling. 40 years is nothing, right? I mean, when we hit 40, it's nothing. When we hit whatever age above that, it's nothing, right? When you're 12 and you see your parents being 42, you're like, wow, that's old. But it's nothing. But so to forget what God had done, it says that this nation, that nation of people that were in the wilderness forgot what God had done for them, and they needed to be reminded of what God had done for them as they entered into the promised land. Their fathers died in the wilderness, as we know. They forgot God's law and their covenant with them. That's mind-boggling. In only 40 years. That's mind-boggling that can happen. So now a new generation needed to be reminded why they had fallen. And that's key. You and I need to remember and look at why we as a nation have fallen in so many ways. If we don't see God as the primary focus of our nation, then we're falling, right? If we, in the 60s, like I said last week, you know, you took prayer out of school and a lot of moral concepts began to quickly fade away out of school. When you take the Ten Commandments out of the government, when you take God out of focus, then it shifts onto the focus of men and their wickedness and not the things of God, that God wants us to know him and to realize who he is and his power in whatever capacity we can come to that knowledge and to give him honor and glory because of it. And so that new generation that was coming out of the wilderness was going into the land of Canaan, the promised land. But they needed to be reminded about the law, and that's why Deuteronomy is called the second law. It sounds a lot like America. America needs to be reminded about who they were when they started and not forget that. But we have forgotten it, and we've lost value of it when we see our American flag being desecrated and it being allowed as a freedom of expression. Shame on us. It's wrong. Because it represents one nation under God. It represents the sacrifice that was so great to make our country what it is today, or what it was, and its greatness. But it's slipping out of our hands that way. And we as God's people need to be bolder and stronger and firmer on, not obviously, on the Word of God, the principles of God, and what God has done in our lives and in our country. But we also need to stand firmer on, hey, we don't want to repeat history. We want to learn from history, both the good and the bad, so we know the right way to go. And so when things are torn down, then it just becomes out of view, becomes out of view. Our founding fathers set up multiple covenants with God, and now the new generations of America have forgotten them. The covenant that, remember we talked about it last week and the week before, that the mindset of the people was on God in our nation, for the most part. They were in our government and our legislation and all of that. God was a central focus. To have Bible studies in the White House, to have prayer time together, to corporately come together and pray and seek the face of God before they made concrete legislation. I mean, that was a focus. It was a focus in their individual life, and it was a focus as a congressional party to stand on the principles of keeping in line with God, that they would make the right decisions and that those decisions would be pleasing to God. That's been lost, and it needs to come back. God graciously prepared Israel's deliverance from Egypt, and yet in 40 years they forgot it? To me, it's almost like, in my mind's eye, it's almost like, okay, you don't want to honor me, God says? Then fine, I'll wipe your memory. Because in 40 years, I mean, just, how can you forget the Red Sea? How can you forget the deliverance out of Egypt? How can you forget the greatness of God? It's like God says, okay, you want to ignore me? You want to defile me? You want to walk away from me? Okay, fine. I'll just step back from you. And you won't see me, and you won't remember. But we as Americans need to remember the greatness of our God to give us such a great, I mean, there's not enough words to express how great our country is and how fortunate we are. Even today in the state that it's in, we have and are part of the greatest country in the world. So I want us to look at Deuteronomy 5:15. It says, "And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." Deuteronomy 5:15, that first point, and remember. It's being commanded in the second law, the book of Deuteronomy, remember. Remember, 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 never forget who I am and what I have done. as a kid and as an adult, I've wondered what it was like for the Israelites to walk on the bottom of the Red Sea on dry ground with the walls of water on either side of them as millions of people walked through there. And as a kid, in my imagination, an adventurous type of mind at times, thinking, wow, look at that shark, look at that whale, look at this, look at that. And all like being in an aquarium with a wall of water and you can see stuff in there. At least that's how my mind envisions that. Might not be that way at all. But nonetheless, just walking through it would be boggling, would it not? And in 40 years, they forgot. They needed to be reminded about who God was and who he is and who he wants to be, a God over them. And in so many ways, I truly believe this, that Americans are like the counterpart, not the replacement of Israel, not replacement theology. God still keeps his promises and still upholds Israel, and the Jewish people and all the plans he's promised for them are still his. But America to me is like a counterpart to a Gentile nation under God. See, Israel was under God's leadership, and now we're like a Gentile nation under God's leadership. Israel slipped away from focusing as they would have, or else they wouldn't have missed the Messiah. And we as Americans that built our country as one nation under God are slipping out from being under God. And so there's kind of there's a Jewish and a Gentile parallel there in my mind. Nonetheless, both are dire. And both need to be acknowledged. And both need to be dealt with. And both need people to stand up on the truth of God and who he is and remember who he is and pass it down to our children. Tell our grandchildren how great God is. Tell our children what he's done in our country. Tell our children that we were a country that took pride in being a nation under God. Tell our children that burning the flag and hating America, not being a patriot, this is not of God. God wants us to be a people that are in love with him, a nation that honors him and lifts him up. And that's why I believe God blessed us so greatly in such a short period of time. Less than 300 years, a little over 200. How great is our nation? And the other nations are thousands of years old. Wow. God gave the pilgrims, the colonists, and founding fathers deliverance from oppressive government and gave them a new land and freedom of religion. Can you imagine the joy in the face of diversity and challenge and hardship, real hardship, the inner joy of saying, we are here by the hand of God providing us a new slate to build a nation under God. What a great privilege that they knew they had, and they were willing to face all the elements, no pun intended, naturally and otherwise, to stand as Americans to build a nation that feared God and honored God. We, like Israel, need to remember our history and what God has done for us. The generation that Joshua led into the promised land soon forgot. You know, you would think after the second, after the second time of the people of Israel being reminded of what God has done for them and that they are to remember their God and to honor their God, that you would think that they would have almost had a spiritual gasp of air. You're kidding. God did that? Wow. He did that for us. We're his people, so forth and whatnot. But as soon as they got into the promised land, they begin to forget. We have to have that oratorical law, that oratorical history passed down from generation to generation to shift the focus of people from the freedom of politics, if you will, responsibility of honoring God first. Let's look at Judges 2:10. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. And it goes on to say throughout the Bible that the people went off and worshiped the Baals, idol worship. Their lifestyles became debased. Their faith waned away from God. They put their faith in just absolute nothingness or worthless things. They put their faith in godless idols. An idol is not a stone object necessarily. An idol is not an altar that's on the side of the road necessarily. An idol is anything that we put above God in our life. Anything in our life that we consider more important than God is idolatry. And that's how, that takes self-discipline to keep ourselves in check. God says, I am your God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and strength. The first of the Ten Commandments was on how we are to relate to God, and the second is how we are to relate to people. And Jesus told us to love God first and to love others afterwards as yourself. And that's so important. That basic principle brings us together as a people, and we're to remember what God has told us. Major sermons of the apostles that were recorded in the book of Acts began with historical treatises on how God's people had fallen away from his blessing. Look what Jesus says to the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. What is the lampstand of America? It's the light of God in America. It should be, it ought to be, and that's the way it was intended to be. But think about America today in world politics. The world goes to America for help. The world turns to America for whatever they need. The world looks at America as the greatest power in America, whether they acknowledge it or not, because they go to America to get what they need to make them better. We are a great, great nation, but we have fallen away from God. And as a nation that first had a heart that was in love with God, as a people and as a government, we've shifted greatly from that. I'm not saying everybody was that way in government. I'm not saying every individual person that was in America had a heart that was fixed on God, but I am saying this, that the balance of its scales was that the nation and the government looked to God more than those that didn't, far more. And that has shifted another way, has it not? And really it holds account to us. We're the ones that can make the difference for the future. Never take it lightly and think that as we make the efforts to direct the hearts and minds of our children or one another to God, that that's in vain or has no real impact. Never think that, as you and I know, that living our life for God, being the people God wants us to be that light in the world he's called us to be, is non-impactful. Because here that passage of scripture in Revelation says that if we stop loving God first, he'll take that light that's from us, not taking Jesus from us. He just says the effectiveness of who we are to bear the light of God and his word and the reality of God and the impact that he has on our lives and how we are used of God to impact those around us will be removed. The same is true for the church. If we are not living with God first, then we as a church are just an organization. Adrian Rogers, I have it in here somewhere. I wasn't thinking about that this morning, but let me see if it, oh, there it is. It says Adrian Rogers, he's in heaven now, so he didn't just recently say this. So, quote, if the church is not under kingdom authority, it is not a church, but a farce, unquote. Adrian Rogers. Wow. Certainly don't want to be a farce. We have to be a people under God's authority in our own personal life and in the church, but also in our nation. Because if we are that type of people, excuse me, if we are that kind of people, then God will not remove the light of his presence from us, But God will allow that light to become emboldened and brighter in our lives and our churches and in our country, that the world will see God as a priority. So it really does come back to you and I as to what happens to the next generation. We can step back on the sidelines and say, well, it's really up to God what he does, but God responds to faithful, obedient hearts to him. Even if we're just a remnant, we've seen through Scripture, even if it's just a remnant of people that stand for God and direct hearts of others to God, that has great influence and great impact on lives and on our nation. So I want us to notice that they had to remember before they could repent. Remember, verse 5, remember therefore from where you have fallen. We have to remember first and then repent. Remember where we were first. Remember, I don't know where you are in your walk with Jesus. This is not a judgment thing. This is just an analogy. But go back to when you first received Christ and how excited and hungry you were for Jesus. And then ask yourself, am I just as excited for Jesus and hungry for him, if not more? You see, if we're not at least where we were, then we have begun to slide. We need to be a people that are passionate about Jesus and who he is like we were when we first received him. Not in a shallow, and I'm not saying we kind of look at that, that's all emotional hype. Well, God doesn't mind if we're emotionally excited about him. He wants us to be a people that are joyful people in him, reflecting him and his light and his character. So we need to remember before we can actually see repentance in our own lives, in the life of churches, or in the life of our nation. We in the United States today have forgotten what God has done for us. And it's sad because we think about all those gravestones, all that died. We were looking at the statistics on the countdown. Did you know that the Civil War had the most casualties in it than all the other wars? The number on the screen, as we looked at it further, it wasn't quite high enough. It was like 400 and something on the screen. But we looked it up a little further. It was 630,000 to 750,000 that were accounted for in the Civil War alone. No other war has ever had that much of a casualty. They were fighting for America. And that was just the soldiers, not the civilians, that were sacrificed for our country. You think about people today that are sacrificed for our country, that we see them coming out the back of planes at the airport, and the Marines or whoever carrying their caskets with the flag over their casket, and there's a sense and ought to be a great, humble, proud stance of the sacrifice, the commitment, and the service of those that laid their lives down for our country. That still happens today for those that value our country and our servicemen and women that have given themselves so greatly for us. And not only those that have died, but those that served so greatly for us, and deployment after deployment after deployment and otherwise. Memorial Day originally, we know this, you've heard it before, but just a reminder, Memorial Day originally was known as a decoration day. Going to the cemeteries and putting the flags on the cemeteries and the red, white, and blue carnations, whatever. Decorating the cemeteries. Celebrating the sacrifice that was made for our great country and the future of our country for our generations that are yet to come. It originated as a result of the Civil War. And the Civil War ended in the spring of 1865. But in 1971, it became an official holiday. Let me ask, how many look at Memorial Day weekend as boating and barbecue and not a day to celebrate our military and what they've sacrificed? I mean, being honest, being candid, there's been a shift, has there not? From our appreciation and the values of the sacrifice for our country. And that shift is because of the values not being recognized, not being remembered, in which they fight for, as we ought to remember them. So we can repent of that that shift of focus and put our focus back where it ought to be, on God. The Civil War, like I said, ended in 1865, that's the spring of 1865, and had more lives taken than any. World War I, World War II, Vietnam was a big one. But none of them compared to the Civil War. Soon Americans began having springtime tributes to these countless fallen soldiers, and they decorated the cemeteries. They had the parades for Veterans Day, as we've seen. Hopefully we'll see again soon in the streets of our cities. But hopefully we're appreciated not just because of the festivities, but because of the value of what it represents. Our soldiers have fought many wars for Americans, from the founding of our nation to the current war, can't speak this morning, that's going on, the longest war ever, in the East. And again, like I said, the fight against terrorism, that whole region over there. Soldiers have fought and died for our freedoms. Our founding fathers originally set up those freedoms for our nation, and those freedoms are challenged today. Let's not let the baton drop, because it's not a simple baton that drops. It's the value of our nation and the greatness of our nation that is at risk here. If we are not a people that stand up first for God, as our founding fathers, the majority did, as those early settlers did, and as the early parts of our country as a nation did, let's make sure that we look back to that and not just think of it as just being patriotic, but really practical, truly practical for the health and the restoration of our nation. God has blessed our nation and military as they fought these wars to protect America and its freedoms. So it's only right we glorify and honor God and remember his protection and provisions provided during America's history and its wars. My mother used to say, TV was going on, I'd say, hey, let's watch this war movie. My mom would go, no, I'm not watching any war. She went through Second World War. I don't want to watch it. I don't even want any reflection on it. My dad would say, I mentioned war, he would literally drop his head and shake it and go, there is no good war. None. And yet we see that when we think about World War II and we think about nations in Europe and all the devastation that took place, and we see the hand of God that protected America in so many ways. We need to praise God and thank God for that, and we need to seek him on a regular basis. It is also only right we also take time to remember what our soldiers in each war have done to protect America. I know it's a little political, and I'm not trying to be, but you look at our soldiers that are there to protect our nation. I look at our police that are there to protect our nation. We need to show them appreciation, because if there's ever a time today that they need it now. They need it now. So Memorial Day should be taken seriously as a national holiday, and we need to remember those who have given their lives for us and our freedoms. We need to thank their families, we need to thank them, and we need to show support in whatever way we can. And we may not realize how many of God's miraculous interventions in America's battles and wars over our history have taken place. I mean, in our own lives, we don't really recognize how much God has intervened on our personal lives. But he has, and he's been there. But the same is true for our country. We don't know how much God has intervened that we're not aware of. And we need to thank God for that. We owe God, obviously, the thanks and to take time to remember his great deeds for America. So as we listen to this message and you're in church and you're thinking about it, let's learn to take on the challenge, You know, one, obviously, the challenge is to stand and be a light of God in the world that we live in as believers in Christ, and live by his word and stand on him and not be ashamed to profess the truth of God's word. But as Americans as well, we're to integrate into our lives. Look what God has done for our country. I think about what Jesus said. I posted on Facebook last week or whatever. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also." You know, we look at the world around us and it's devastating. But it could be a whole lot worse. It could be a whole lot worse. And yet God in his grace is still working, probably in ways that we don't know. Reverend S.W. Fulijambi, I'm sure I'm not saying that right, but Reverend S.W. Fulijambi in 1876 said this: "The more thoroughly," now listen to this carefully because of the vocabulary, "the more thoroughly a nation deals with its history, the more decidedly it will recognize and own an overruling providence therein." The more we look at history, the more we recognize the overruling hand of God, the providence that was involved therein. And the more religious a nation will it become. If we look to God, honor God, and recognize his hand over us, the more religious and faithful a nation will become. While the more superficially it deals with its history, tearing down monuments and statues and whatever, not understanding the history behind it, and not just wanting to just think about, take the good and the bad, look at it squarely in the eye, and know what we ought to do as we follow God. So while the more superficially it deals with his history, seeing only secondary causes and agencies, the more irreligious will it be. So without my interjection, I'm going to read it one more time. The more thoroughly a nation deals with its history, the more decidedly it will recognize and own an overruling providence therein. And the more religious a nation will it become. While the more superficially it deals with its history, seeing only secondary causes and agencies, the more irreligious will it be. Recognize God's hand on our country. Acknowledge him. Be his people. Shine for him in our lives, our churches, our communities, and our government. Communicate what God has done in our country, in our history, in our lives. Stand true to his word. Know that our faithfulness in doing so, even if it feels like, and even there might be the remnant of God's people doing so, the remnant of God's people have always had great impact against great odds because of God's hand and what he does. So take time to remember God's deeds in America and in your life. Share them with others. Remembering our history and glorifying God will help turn America around. It's not a fancy statement. It's a true statement. Let's go to the Lord. Father, thank you for being our Father. Thank you for loving us so much that you gave us your Son to die on the cross for our sins, that you allowed him to die, you allowed him to be buried, you allowed him to raise himself up again, and that he sits at your right hand in heaven today. Thank you, Father, for all that you've provided for us and the relationship that we have with you because of your Son. Because your word tells us that no one comes unto the Father except through him, through Jesus. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." And because of you, Lord Jesus, we have a relationship with God the Father. But of course, that includes you and the Holy Spirit. Our triune God, all three in one, almighty, none other like you. None parallel to you, none even in competition with you. You are our great God, the great and almighty God that lives in our hearts. And we are living temples of God. A mind-boggling reality. We are living temples of God because you live in our hearts. And we're called to bear that light. And as we honor you and seek you and stand for you and live for you, that light of you will shine brighter through us. And we will be that salt that preserves those things that are good. And we will be that light that shines truth on those things that are good and shines truth on the reality of those things that are evil. Help us to be that kind of people. And I pray, Father, that as great as an obstacle it might be in our own minds to think of America turning back, there's no question that you can turn America back to you. Remember the sacrifices, Father, that have been made for our country. But more than that, remember the sacrifices of the lives of every Christian believer that stood for you to build our country. Honor them. Honor us who stand. And Father, may our faithfulness have great positive impact on the future for our grandchildren and children and generations to come. If you don't come before them, Father, I pray that you honor that. Even still, let our light shine. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, you know what? Before we go to the introduction, I want to read something to you. This is a prayer book that my great-grandmother had, and regarding the memorial for, here's a prayer for our country. It says, Almighty God, who has given us this good land for our heritage, we humbly beseech thee that we may always prove ourselves a people mindful of thy favor and glad to do thy will. Bless our land with honorable industry, sound learning, and pure manners. Save us from violence, discord, and confusion, from pride and arrogancy, and from every evil way. Defend our liberties, and fashion into one united people the multitudes brought hither out of many kindreds and tongues. And do with the spirit of wisdom those to whom in thy name we entrust the authority of government, that there may be justice and peace at home, and that through obedience to thy law we may show forth thy praise among the nations of the earth. In the time of prosperity, fill our hearts with thankfulness, and in the day of trouble, suffer not our trust in thee to fail. All which we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That was a prayer for our country. And I'm reading this because I want you to think about the mindset that so many Christians had over 100 years ago. Here's one more that's for Memorial Day. It's shorter. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, in whose hands are the living and the dead, we give thee thanks for all those thy servants who have laid down their lives in the service of our country. Grant to them thy mercy and thy light of thy presence, that the good work which thou hast begun in them may be perfected through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. Amen. God bless you.